We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor, and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to BEP Live on the Black Executive Perspective podcast. As everyone knows, I'm Tony Tidbit. And if this is your first time joining or watching, this is a space where we don't dance around the truth, right? We dig into conversations people whisper about. We avoid meetings. And more importantly, or they flat out refuse to face, because comfort has never created change.
And I'm Chris P. Reed. And as he said, we cut through the noise and get straight to what matters: power, politics, culture, leadership, and the moments shaping our lives right now. No filters, no safe takes, just honest dialogue and real accountability with you live on Tuesday. So let's get into it.
Absolutely, bro. So, Chris, as you know, man, today is December 30th. We're closing out the year, right? 2025. It happened so fast. I mean, we can't believe it. And, you know, it's interesting when we're kids, years take forever when you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 15. But I remember our parents telling us that as you get older, they go past pretty fast, right? Mm-hmm. And that is so true, right? But for BEP, for Black Executive Perspective Podcast, 2025 was not about viral moments. We didn't build this just to do a flash in the pan to try to, you know, create something that goes viral. This is about having uncomfortable conversations and hopefully making them comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. So it's been all year about uncomfortable truth. And here's the thing, you know, BEP, although we're on, you know, YouTube and all this, the social media platforms and this and that, we don't chase algorithms, right?
Right.
What we do is we chase clarity, right? We chase accountability, and we chase conversations that most people avoid because comfort pays better than courage, right? And so today, what we want to do is we're going to reflect. And this is not going to be the best of a Black Executive Perspective podcast of 2025. What we're going to go share tonight is why these things mattered in the conversations that we had in 2025.
Absolutely. And like you talked about, we don't do, you know, abhorrent clickbait. It's sometimes it's inadvertent. Sometimes some stuff that we say be game, but it's not based off of our design. Our design is the clarity. Our design is to eliminate discrimination and things of that nature. These clips weren't chosen because they were easy. They were chosen because they stuck, because they resonated in the hearts and minds and the souls of our folks that we deal with, folks like you on the live that are responding and getting in with us, because they spark reaction, reflection, and sometimes resistance. Like you say, we laugh about it, we cry about it, you know, all those things as we go forward, and they tell us that we're doing something right.
There's no question, bro. There's no question. So before we go into today, we're going to reminisce, we're going to reflect, and we're going to share some of the moments that we had from January all the way to this end of December on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. But before we do that, and you just brought up something, so I want to make sure we're clear. We want to thank the people that invested their time to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast this year, right? Who believed in us, who saw our platform. I mean, look, let's be fair. This ain't, you know, this ain't CBS Good Morning, or this ain't, you know, the Evening News, or this ain't, you know, the late night shows where, you know, you got millions of people and it's about if they show up on those shows, they're going to be seen by millions of people. You know, this is a Black Executive Perspective podcast, and those individuals who are very successful, who are going to, we're going to share case some of them. And now we didn't have time to have everybody, but share, Kelly, we're going to showcase some of them who today and some of the clips that we share of 2025. But we want to thank you for, again, investing the time to come on this platform and be able to share your authentic points of view and be vulnerable and be willing to be vulnerable with us and the audience. Because without you, it's just Chris and I, right? And you believed in us enough that you were willing to come on and open up and provide perspective where other people can learn from. So number one, we want to thank every guest that's been on BEP. And then secondarily, which is and more importantly, we want to thank our audience. I mean, you guys that show up and watch our episodes each week, all of our shows from A Black Executive Perspective to Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burden to Pull Up, Speak Up, to coming on BEP Live or checking it out. Even if you can't be here when we're live, how you go back and look in the archives and watch our shows. You know, one of the things real quickly, you know, obviously one of the things that, you know, is this, as the year winds down, people go on vacation and this and that, on our yards, and you kind of think that, oh, people kind of tune out from consuming media, and some of that is true, right? Mm-hmm. However, I will say this, you know, I was checking out our numbers on Spotify and Apple, and buddy, you know, from, you know, Christmas, from 2 days before Christmas to today, our audience has consumed our content on Apple, mm-hmm. Spotify, mm-hmm. all the audio platforms in record numbers. So mm-hmm. it's not like they've taken a break, right? Mm-hmm. They've doubled down mm-hmm. on A Black Executive Perspective podcast, right? And we want to thank you because you're letting us know that we're providing the type of content, the type of reality, the type of authenticity, and more importantly, the education that you're looking for you to show up like that.
And we know that you have choices in podcasts, right? We know this. So we appreciate you rocking with us day in, day out, week in, week out. But I also wanted to add a caveat to your thank yous. And I want to thank the people behind the scenes, Tony. So we got the audience, we got the contributors, but we got people that's editing. We got people that's giving advice. We got people that's staying up late and saying, y'all should talk about this, y'all should talk about that. We got people that's subscribing to the monthly newsletter.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So the reality of it is it takes a village. And this is a labor of love that we have invested in, and it's paying dividends as far as you guys giving us that feedback, you giving us those comments. We love this. We love the comments. We love the engagement. But we want to thank the people that's helping this thing move, the movers and shakers behind the scene, the unknown soldiers or the unseen faces, you know what I mean, behind
exactly.
the camera.
Exactly. And those individuals count just as much, right? Because
absolutely.
They're also invested.
Charlie, we need them.
And they're
absolutely.
The ones that's recommending guests to us. They're the ones yep. that's reaching out and say, you guys should talk about this. Or here, absolutely. Let me connect you with these individuals, right? Nobody sees them. Nobody knows them. Let me yep. just say this before we go into, you know, sharing some of our highlights. And you know this, and some of the people behind the scenes, but the majority of the audience don't know. You know, BEP was launched in September of 2023, all right? Yeah. So 2 years and a few months. Yeah. And just to give you the idea how our audience has really gravitated to A Black Executive Perspective podcast, especially here on YouTube. On YouTube, we had 550 subscribers in March of 2025. All right, 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. Today, we have almost 147,000 people who subscribe to a right. Black Executive right. Perspective yeah. podcast. Are yeah. you yeah. kidding me?
Yeah.
All right, that yeah. ain't magic. That ain't yeah. hocus yeah. pocus. Yeah. And we snap the finger. That yeah. is people coming in droves to listen and to watch us. So we salute you. Go ahead, buddy. I know you want to say
I'm
something.
Gonna tell
Go ahead.
You this. Man, my wife, this was a couple of days ago. She was like, hey, do you know y'all got more subscribers than Bomani Jones? I was like, because we rock with Bomani. Shout out Bomani Jones from
ESPN. Yes, Bomani Jones, my man. Yeah.
She was like, you know, you got more subscribers than Bomani Jones. I said, hey, we just need to get up with him. We need to get there. But it's about the content, man. You know what I mean? It's keep filling the machine, feeding the machine. And we try to meet you where you are. If you guys engage with us, we're going to engage back and we're going to be here. The one big thing that happened in this year, and I know we're going to do a wrap down, but it might not be in our list. We committed to these Tuesday lives for
yes,
real.
Yes,
you was like,
yes,
look,
yes.
we're going to do this. We're going to, because we dabbled a couple of times, dipped
right,
the toe
right,
in.
Right.
He was
right,
like,
right.
What the fuck? Let's do this. And I'm like, cool.
We're going to do it.
Let's
right,
do
right.
it. I got permission.
Right.
And then I'm on every two. Let's go live.
Thank you,
live.
Mrs. Reed.
Yes. So, and it's on location. Like, we make this happen. And the people that have come and stepped in, you know, where I was away, stuff like that. We've done a great job of trying to meet you where you are. We're going to continue to invest in that and do that at a greater clip and make sure that this becomes a fully interactive sport as we move forward. But that's absolutely thank you for the vision and for like, hey, let's go for it. Let's see. That helps a lot, man. It helps to energize. It put the battery in your back. You know what I'm saying? And so that's also, you know, I just want to thank you on air for that type of, you know, visionary leadership.
Well, thank you, my brother. But again, you said the phrase, it takes a village. So I definitely mm-hmm. didn't do this all by myself. I have my lovely mm-hmm. wife, Gail. You know, mm-hmm. I have Tiffany and Cynthia and Clayton. Yep. And we can name a few, right? And those are the Absolutely. People behind the scenes that really, you know, keep us grounded and keep our momentum going, even when things don't seem that they're going well. But more importantly, bro, let's share with the audience some of the things that we did from January this year to December, closing out the year. You ready for this?
I'm ready, man. Chopping at the bit.
All right, let's talk about it.
Very real. I've had imposter syndrome. Just about everybody I've talked to have had it at some point. But I say all this to say that if you're going through the same things, just know that the majority of people went through them. The highly successful people have been through that phase, but they have just gone through that. And it's not easy to get through it, but just know that regardless of what challenges or ideas or perceptions you have in your head, know one thing. These are perceptions that are in your head. This is not real life.
If true history was taught, then everybody would be getting
it. Everybody would be saying, I'm in for it, right? Because then they'll say, oh, I understand.
Yeah, right. I understand. But because our history and even now the politics of today is getting rid of specific books that tell about that history. These are things that we're going to always fight because America has never dealt with the past 400 years. We would not be in this situation if it wasn't for them actually addressing the atrocities of this country initially.
The term diversity post-George Floyd was used. DEI was a code word for black. And the last thing that I would say, because it's a pet peeve of mine, is that we now have begun to joke about this on a national stage by talking about that black job.
Correct.
It's like DEI. Oh, that's that black job. No. Stop saying that. All we're going to do is push people further away from what needs to happen, and that is to integrate all of us into a space that allow us to be productive in a community, at work, on a college campus, or what have you.
You have the black kids. They just assumed nobody was going to adopt them. And then you had, especially in El Paso, you had a lot of white kids. They were the first to get adopted. And there was me. I was biracial. I'm in the middle. I was not going to be adopted because there was a lot of family court stuff.
People calling it, man. You know, it was.
And they came out hot, though, right?
Came out, man. And the crazy, you know, the interesting part about that is it was always prophetic. In the fact that we called it out and it still happened anyway. They were still diminishing, you know, us in the media and in leadership positions and things of that nature. It was profound that we had the people who had foresight to say, look, no, don't do this, don't do that. My man, the executive for the Cavaliers, he was like, hey, you diminish
Kevin
it. You...
Clayton. Yeah, chief equity officer for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Go ahead, buddy.
Absolutely. And he called it on the money and they was like, yeah, let's just keep doing it. We're going to double down on this. And, you know, but we have such great introspective and insightful individuals that's willing to contribute. If you go back and look at it's a master class, fam. It's a master class in what to look out for, what to be aware of, you always talk about active listening. It's a master class. And if you actively listen, you're surprised by nothing that goes on. If you get knocked out by the punch you don't see, it's because you don't tune into us.
Absolutely. And just to give everybody a little direction, you know, those were just a couple of clips from the beginning of the year, January. You know, Trump came into office and it was all about, you know, DEI ain't this and DEI that. So we wanted to talk about it, right? We wanted to have those conversations. The first clip you saw was by this young brother, Ricardo Yolas. And if you're out there, Ricardo, and you're watching, my brother, love you a lot. This brother, 23 years old. All right. Yeah. Went into corporate America. All right. And wasn't afraid. You heard him say he had a imposter syndrome. Right. Yeah. As we all, you know, a lot of people do. But that didn't stop him from going into a company, a corporation where there was 25,000 employees and he's right out of college and he's looking around and saying, you know what? I don't see a lot of black people in charge. And he created a program, right? Where all the other kids, all the other young people, just like going back to Chris thing, when you come into corporate America, you're trying to survive, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. He comes in and looks to the left and right and says, hey, I'm going to create something, right? And so having that young brother come on to kick off 2025 for us, for me, well, I was just so impressed with him, right? Yes. And it showcased it, showcased that no matter where you are, no matter what your age, no matter what, you have the ability to affect change, okay? And so, and then all the way to my brother, Patrick, right? Who, biracial brother, who started his own business, doing well, international business. We forget how many companies, countries he's in, right? Yep, and he was the biracial kid. He told his story about, you know, how he was adopted, his parents didn't take, and he went to foster care, and he was sitting there waiting to get adopted. Okay. And because of the system, right? He said it. Remember he told us on the show, he was like, he said, the brothers, he said, I became close to black kids because they were real with me. They were like, bruh, number one, ain't nobody going to adopt us.
Gonna adopt you.
And then number two, they definitely ain't going to adopt your ass.
Right.
But having people come on to kick off the beginning of the year to share like they did was fantastic. And it started off, it helped us have a bold beginning in 2025.
They reminded me of a quote from Winston Churchill that says, if you find yourself walking through hell, keep walking. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you find yourself going through hell, keep walking. You know, you can't give up.
You can't give up. And here's the thing, though. Every person that's been on our show, everyone, is very successful. These are individual men, women, young, who have their own business, who are at the C-suite level, who are entrepreneurs, who are all different type of level individuals, and they come on and they share. They don't sit back and say, well, look, I made it. You can do it. ain't no problems going on in the world. What are you talking about? Right? They've worked their butts all the way through, and they still come on and are willing to roll up their sleeves and be honest and tell you the nitty gritty of what they had to go through and what people still have to go through. And that's why we applaud them.
And then another thing, and lastly, you know, before we move to the next clip, they didn't keep their head in the sand. A lot of times we feel like the ignorance is bliss, and if I don't know it, then it won't hurt me. But you don't dismantle systems by pretending they don't exist. You got to go head on, you know, sleeves, roll your sleeves up and be willing to stand up to something, stand up for something. And that's what our guest did.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we wanted to do, you know, obviously when February came, it's Black History Month, right? And so we, you know, obviously we were trying to put something together with Black History Month. And then my wife saw this lady. Her name was Alana Trotchman. She was on the local news and she was talking about this documentary called Ain't No Back to a Merry-Go-Round, right? About this unhidden history that the majority of people had no clue about, including us, okay? And my wife reached out to her and said, hey, would you be willing to come on? And she was like, absolutely. And then I set up a call with her, and we did a pre-production meeting, and we chatted with her. And when she sent us, remember, Chris, she sent us the trailer before they released it, right? She was like, look, I'll give it to you guys. You guys take a look at it. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And she sent us the whole manuscript, and we read through it. Chris went through it like a fine-tooth comb, blew her away, right? Because she was like, oh, my God, you did your research in the whole nine yards, right? But that documentary that she put together, which she is still, I think they just did a premiere in New York City and the whole nine yards. She's still pushing, was one of the highlights that we had in 2025. Learning that history about, I think it was the first interracial,
Absolutely.
In the United States. All right. Oh my God, it's fantastic. So let's share a little bit of that with you guys as well.
This park is segregated. You're not trespassing.
You ask your race.
My race, I belong to the human race.
Oh, we were dying to get in there.
I really wanted to ride on the carousel. Why couldn't we go and have fun like everybody else?
We were some bold people.
I knew that there was something better for me. probably wouldn't let her kids come to Glen Echo because not everybody could come.
We are Americans too. We support this country. We love this country.
The Holocaust radicalized me.
The fight for civil rights is as much my fight as it is theirs.
That was the first time I had any social contact with a white person.
White people feel it would really be totally wrong morally for young white girls to be bumping hips in a swimming pool with teenage Negro boys.
A group of demonstrators have just marched through the gate.
Got on the merry-go-round.
And the guy spit on me.
Spit right in her face. She just looked straight ahead and kept on walking.
Last night's group was the largest number of demonstrators.
Congressman Adam Clayton Powell.
Stokely's first picket line.
A. Philip Randolph and Roy Wilkins joined the picket line.
Glen Echo gave me my baptism.
It dramatically changed my life.
I thought I was making a film that was going to be sort of like a straight line of redemption, you know, from this beautiful interracial protest all the way to the White House. When other things happened, when we got different people in power, then the film is about, look where we've come from and look how dangerous it is to slip back there. This is where we could go, right?
So when I could no longer work, and like, it was horrible, but nice people do not finish last. We lose battles, we never lose the war.
I love
it. Like, I hate when people say nice people finish last. No, we don't. No, like, I'm still nice. I'm going to die nice. I'm not going to change.
I love
because
it.
Because of people, right?
Right?
I'm a nice person. I'm going to still be nice.
We talked about the idea of the village, and the concept of that documentary was it was students from Howard University as well as the Jewish community. And like that woman said, the Holocaust was my, you know, introduction into this type of mindset and things of that nature. Ironically, interestingly, I had talked to her about the title because the title Ain't No Back to a Merry-Go-Round. And the story behind it is, I think it might have been Paul Dunbar, but somebody can correct me.
Langston Hughes.
So the story goes that obviously this is back in the time where back of the bus, we always had to get in the rear. We always had to figure it out. And the young boy goes up to the merry-go-round operator, the carousel operator, and says, where's the back? So that way he knew he was in his place,
right,
in the back.
Right.
And the man said, ain't no back to a merry-go-round. That was so right. Dope, man. And it just, it talked to the times. It talked to the mentality. It talked to the fact that we just want to get along. We just want to, we don't want no problems. Like that boy that approached that man wanted the rules so he could abide by the rules. And unfortunately, the rules are not always shaped to assist us, and somebody has to do something about it at times. And this was the first instance in America where that was done interracially on a scale like that. So great.
Flat out.
It was great times.
Flat out. And nobody knew this. We didn't know about this history.
We didn't know. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
So, and so just to sit with Alana and go through and learn all this. And, you know, one of the other things about that. And listen, guys, we want everyone. This is stuff you may not be. These may be episodes you haven't seen. Go back into the archives. Check out. Go to a Black Exec. Check out our old episodes because you would definitely learn a lot. And they're very enjoyable. But the thing about it, one of the things that I remember about this story, that it was so intricate. So in other words, there's the boogeyman. Okay. And that's the villain. Where in this story, you know, racial lines cross. So it, you know, it was a merry-go-round in Maryland that black people couldn't go to, right? However,
it was a park.
I'm sorry, not merry-go-round. It was an amusement park, which was huge at that time, right?
Yep.
However, the owner of the amusement park was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the people that protested that lived in the neighborhood, well, it was a Jewish interracial neighborhood, but it was mostly Jewish people. So they protested. And then you had the college kids from Howard University who were trying to, you know, grind their teeth on civil rights thing. They came and joined, right? But then you had certain black people in the neighborhood was like, what are you talking about? I don't care about no amusement park.
Right.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 blah.
Absolutely.
So the bottom line is when you hear the story and you go through through it. And then those people that you saw, those were actual people that were actually there. So these wasn't actors, right? Yep. She did a fantastic job of sharing those, having clips of those people when they were young, and then bringing them on. They were the ones that told the story, right? Yep. The ones that are still alive. So that was fantastic. And then my sister Ruby, who's Ruby Foster. Oh my God. She created the Financial Joy School. And when you hear her story, a woman that got into a car accident, had a traumatic brain injury, lost her job, didn't have any savings, foreclosed, her house was being foreclosed on, and a couple, you know, shared with her how to save her money. You know, you got any savings? No, I don't have anything. And they're like, well, you don't have nothing. And they taught her how to be able to use investing and stuff to that nature. And she changed her life. She can bear, I mean, her story was fantastic, but she didn't keep it to herself. She created a school called the Financial Joy School to help African-American people and people learn how to invest so they would never be in that predicament. And just to hear when she was like, nice people don't, I mean, when you hear her story, and she had every reason just to say, I give up. She had every reason to push to the side, but she didn't. And that was the beautiful thing. That's one of the things that resonate across a BEP in 2025. We've had people who come on, and you would look at them like, oh, they're great. But when they tell the story, they had a million reasons. Like, forget about it. I give up. And they kept making it happen. But not just for themselves, for their community as well.
And both of those women, more than anything, epitomized patience. Because it took her 10 years to make that documentary, remember?
There's no question, yeah.
Man, credit cards. She was putting it on credit cards. And yeah, I mean, spitting glue and tape and MacGyvered that thing. And same thing, you know what I'm saying? Same thing with old girl. You know, it took her a while to get her faculties together and figure out, okay, I can't just give up. But they were patient enough to have the vision and then keep chipping away. And that's what it takes sometimes.
There's no question. There's no question, right? And so we've been blessed. But that, for Black History Month, that was fantastic. Our audience really enjoyed. And we had several other, but for the month of February with Ruby and that, it was fantastic. I know. And Alana and I, we're still good friends. Matter of fact, she's the one that connected us with JTC, right? With Abby and Joan.
That was the other thing
that we always loved, that our guests, because they had such a good time, they would always like, hey, I got somebody for you. Or, hey, well, are you guys interested in this and this and that? So it's been great, right? So that was just the first couple of months of the year, right?
Yeah.
So let's dive into, as we start getting into March, and let's see exactly where the flow of a Black Executive Perspective podcast was going.
But the fact is that we live in an increasingly anti-Black, anti-woman, misogynist.
But you keep saying that, though. You keep saying that. How is that possible?
When you have...
I live with a woman that's an elected official for almost 20 years. I don't even hear her talk like that. She, when she walks in those boardrooms...
I'm not that woman, though. Wait. I'm an individual. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know why? You don't have time.
She's a woman, I'm a woman.
You don't have time to do that when you're trying to build something for your group.
So, Kev, let her finish. Why did you want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast talk about this topic?
Because it's so important, especially where we are politically right now. Diversity and inclusion is not wiped out of my mind or my mouth or my words. It makes us better, makes us stronger, and no one should be discriminated against.
You can't passively be an anti-racist. And I think that's an important point. That's something that I stress as well. You must take action. If you're not taking action, then you're not really being anti-racist and you're not living out that value.
But here's just a taste of the Asian American history here in the United States.
1587, when a landing party from the...
Wagons were tilted up on one end. That was...
The court ruled that American-born children of Chinese immigrants were entitled to citizenship under the 14th Amendment.
In his brief, Ozawa argued that his skin was as white as any so-called Caucasian, if not whiter.
You know, it's just, it's so interesting how we've been programmed by leaders we trust of authority. They fail us, Tony. They fail us saying stuff like Kung Flu. They fail us saying stuff like the China virus. And because a layman person don't know a Chinese from a Korean, from a Japanese, from a Vietnamese, from, you know, they, everybody's Chinese, like I said before. And now all of these people are the reasons why my grandma died. You bring it on emotional, you know what I mean? You bring it on emotional heartstrings with this, and it's causing this hatred, and it's fueling this xenophobia, this fear of foreigners. And these people aren't foreigners.
Man, listen, you think, you know, looking at that again, reflecting, we should have won an award for that one with the Asian American, because two brothers talking about the Asian American experience and the history, we gave them some game. I had some of my friends, Asian Americans, reach out and was like, damn, you really did the damn thing. So shout out to, you know, my people. But that was cool. I think one of the things that really struck my heart looking at that was my man Kevin. And when we talk about perspective and people having value in their, I don't diminish him for being a MAGA person or like, he gets a voice too. He gets to say, now it's inflammatory, it's incendiary, all this other stuff, but it's him. It's what he believes, it's the way he lives, it's what, and he has a right in this country. That freedom stuff that they try to take away, we don't believe in that. We believe in you coming and giving your perspective, and we allow for that. We allow for you to come and cook. And it don't have to always be, you and I don't always agree.
No,
but that's what makes it so genuine and authentic, is that we give a platform where people can say things. Now, we can laugh or we can sneer or we can, you know, diminish them with facts. But they ain't trying to hit them facts. Like, I love that dude. Shout out to you, Kevin. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Jenkins. Kevin Jenkins.
Yeah, Kevin Jenkins.
Man, you need all kinds of people. That's the nature of diversity. Diversity exactly. Does not mean black. It's diversity of thought, diversity of education, diversity of region. He brings that diversity to the table, and I appreciate him for it.
Well, here's the thing, though, bro. Black people are not a monolith, right? We believe and think, and no, nor should we be, right? And
absolutely.
So, but that's our platform. Our platform is to have more people, all people to come on and share their perspective. And they don't have to agree with us, and I don't have to agree with them. Like I said, me and you fight, all right? I fight with everybody. So that's just that's just who I am, right? But at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want people to share. Kevin is a smart brother, okay?
Damn.
And there may be things I disagree with him with, but there was things that I agree with him on, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that goes across the gamut with everyone, right? And so I will say this too, you know, real quick before, you know, let me say this. You know, when the Asian American thing that we did, you know, we both were very passionate about it. We wanted, you know, just because our title is a Black Executive Perspective podcast, some people think that's all we talk about is black stuff. No, we don't.
That's right.
And as you can see, we just don't have black people come on. You know, Carol Stiff,
right,
who's the president of the Women's Sports Network, who used to be the executive vice president of ESPN 30 for 30. Yep. All right. She's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Okay. Yep. And she came on our show, and you heard me ask, hey, why do you want to come on BEP? And she went right to it. All right. So at the end of the day, our platform is for everybody. Okay. And our platform is for all people to come on, no matter what their color, their gender, their sexual orientation, to share their perspective, right? So we can all learn from one another. And you don't learn from one another if everybody's in an echo chamber. Okay.
That's right.
Because there's a ton of stuff I've learned where I initially disagreed with somebody, but they planted a seed, and then I started marinating on that seed. That seed started marinating. And then later on, I was like, oh shit. You know what? I can see their point of view. I get it now, right?
Right,
and that's
absolutely
why we have these conversations.
Absolutely.
Right? So we can all learn from one another.
Absolutely. Nothing grows in a comfort zone. They're going to be uncomfortable conversations at times, but that's what good medicine is. It's nasty at times, right? It can't all be cherry flavored and watermelon flavored. Like, it's got to be a situation where you take that medicine and it's for healing. And that's what we try to do. We one conversation at a time, one perspective at a time. We try to expand your mind and help you heal, because that's what we need more than anything in this world now. There's a lot of healing.
Absolutely. But here's the one thing I wanted to get to was one of our cornerstones of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, and that is Dr. Nasinga Burton, right? and so Nasinga, that's my sister. I love her a lot. And since she's been, you know, her show comes out every Thursday, Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton. She's just been fantastic, right? And she provides her perspective, and she don't care what nobody thinks, right? But to be fair, she's educating people. Right. And she's giving you a perspective that you may not hear. Right. And but not only that, she's not only just so smart, you know, her alias is the hyphenated. Right. Because
she's multi-hyphenated.
Because she's very talented and she's done a lot of things. If you look at her background, man, it's insane. Right. And so but Nasinga has never been afraid to say what time it is. Right. As her and Kevin got into it. On Pull Up Speak Up. And that's the one thing that we were able to do. We created Pull Up Speak Up to have a round table where we can bring on multiple people and talk about a couple of topics. And then, you know, more importantly, everybody can share their perspective. But our first show that we created was Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton, right? Because her perspective, and this is a micro video podcast, it's no longer than 10, 12 minutes, comes on each week, but she jumps right into it and gets into it. And I'm going to tell you, she's been one of our audiences. They love Dr. Nasinga Burton. Go ahead, buddy. You going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, Nasinga come out shooting threes. She's not trying to, man, she come out firing up, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's a joy every week.
Flat out. So because of that, I wanted to play a quick little clip of some of the highlights. And this is just a couple, right? And we put together her latest episode because she took a break for the holidays. So we did a 2025 Need to Know, the special episode of Need to Know for the holiday season. So you can definitely listen to it or watch it, and you can get a little taste of her throughout the year. But I wanted to play this real quick, just for those who have never, ever had a taste of Dr. Nasinga Burton, who's never really dived in and listened to her. I'm just going to play a couple little clips here. Play a clip here to give you exactly who we have and why she's so popular here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast.
The heartbeat bill, basically a law in Georgia that says fetuses have the rights of humans. She was forcibly kept alive versus the wishes of her family in order to have the baby. I'm sick and tired of people lying and clearly not understanding what DEI actually is, what affirmative action actually is, or I guess we could say was. You don't even know what it is. Like, you can't even define it, articulate it. And this false idea that we, that would be Black people, because I'm a Black person and I'm a woman, that somebody's giving us something. We are not here to be your whipping post. We did that for 400 years. You got a powerful country out of it. You're welcome, but we're not doing that shit no more. I need you to know today is that we cannot continue to allow our children to be shot up. Like, we just cannot allow it.
Bold.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Man. Listen, you know, the thing that came into my mind was bold, unapologetic, and factual. One thing that we do here, and that Tony just drives, data-powered insights. We got to be – you can go check what he says all the time, famously, in the early days, all the time. Go check for yourself. Don't just believe me. Don't just listen to Tony Tidbit. Go check for yourself. Check multiple sources. But that factually correct part, she is so factual in her presentation. Now, she's passionate. And I think sometimes people think because she's so passionate, she's so animated, that she's just coming off emotion. No.
No.
No, she's coming off straight facts.
Facts.
So she wasn't given those degrees ain't posthumous. She's that, you know what I'm saying? And she brings it, bro. Like, it is entertaining, but it's educational. And she does a great job of emphasizing the passion that she has for us to know better in order to do better.
Absolutely. We love you a lot, my girl. She's my sister.
Absolutely.
Love her. She's awesome. So that was just a little taste of the first half of the year. So let's dive into a little bit deeper as we moved into the second half of 2025.
We're going to bum rush the whole damn thing.
It's been a whirlwind since President Trump was sworn in. The strategy has been flood the zone, and it's leaving Democrats and even some Republicans scrambling.
the bum rush is exactly what it is. And it is hitting every space that they can. It's like, it's just like throwing paint at the wall. Just making sure whatever sticks, sticks. I don't even care what sticks, as long as something sticks, right? And then I'm throwing it with one hand and I'm throwing it another hand. And so it's, to me, to exhaust the people.
Number one, I want to ask, what were some of the biggest challenges that you face building something that actually focus on the Black diaspora, Black experience?
Yeah, it's tricky because you have to go against people who will tell you there's nothing wrong with it. There isn't any issues by making everything about race. And then you show them the answer when you ask it to write a short essay on Black history and it doesn't mention the KKK or forgets about Obama, or refuses to acknowledge massacres that happen. Like, that is the version of Black history that a lot of people want to promote and have unfortunately promoted in schools across America.
But on top of that, he was also dealing with the cumulative impact of racism throughout his life. And people don't realize these microaggressions. It's not like it happens and then it's gone and then it happens again and it's right. Gone. It has a cumulative effect. And so he's dealing with that as well. And we talked that night. I wish I could redo that every day. I think about that. But the next day I found him, he had taken his own life. He was a victim of suicide, but that was, another, you know, young Black man gone, in part due to this impact of race on his life.
You can figure out where the competition is or where the issue is by what they try to keep you from. If voting wasn't important, they wouldn't try to keep you from voting. So that has correct. To let you know, wait a minute, because we have people in our, oh man, voting don't mean nothing. And if it don't mean nothing, why would they try to keep you from it? Whatever they're trying to block, that's what you need to pay attention to. Whatever they're trying to block, that's what you need to pay attention to. If they're saying, no, we don't want you to vote, we're going to make it, you're going to have a passport, two IDs.
It's, man, you know, the funny part about it is, what they try to program us with now is if you ask questions, you're being radical. And we always have been behind the fact that you have a right to ask questions, especially in a civil tone, in a respectful way. If your brain is telling you this don't look right, this don't feel right, ask. Open your mouth and ask. And what these people do, they understand the intersection of technology and policy and grief and how it impacts us as Black and brown folks, specifically women, specifically on these things that are being built around us, the Black GPT, you know, Chat Black GPT. Like, she really, there's nothing left to be. She dropped the mic when she said, well, ask it to do a Black history thing, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, these things are so overt, but if we don't speak to it, if we don't open our mouths and say something about it, it'll get past us. And that's the thing that we try to bring is that perspective, that illumination. That's a great, we illuminate a lot of these things. Even with Dr. Jojo writing the book about his brother, you know what I'm saying? Being a Black male that was going through the hidden or the subconscious weight of being a Black male in America. And he came to that revelation through the eyes of another. That all of that is big, man. And that's what we try to promote is just seeing no empathy. You talk about all the time, empathy.
There's no question, buddy. And we've been blessed. You know, having Aaron Reddick on, who created Chat Black GPT, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Having Dr. Mm-hmm. Jojo come on, right?
Yeah,
and promote his book and talk about anti-racism and then share his story, right? Yep. Of growing up in Boston and having a brother that was Black and he was white and they were best friends. I mean, buddy. And then Dr. Will yeah, Moreland, like the number Will, one, yeah, you know, coach leader. In America, bro. Flat out, and him taking the, think about it for a second. These are individuals, they ain't got to come here. They got 1,000 things to do, all right? And they invested their time to come on BEP to mm-hmm. share and drop some knowledge. They didn't come in here and just chat, right? They were passionate. They were 100% behind it, right? Yep. And they were educating us, okay? Yep. And so, buddy, we, I mean, and look, we created Pull Up, Speak Up to have that round table. And every time we had a pull up speak up show, it always delivered, right? So we got off to a great second half of the year. But then as we got into September, we wanted to keep, you know, we wanted to take it to the next level, right? So let's let's show a little bit about what we did, you know, in the fall time.
I knew something was wrong. I knew I was going to have to figure out this black thing. I mean, that's how it was being, that's how I was talking about
it. So you were struggling, like, and you was like, I got to figure out this black thing, right? When you say this black thing, like, what did you mean?
This cultural, I'm living in this world, and culturally, this is what's happening. And now I'm old enough that I'm realizing I got to figure this out. How am I going to be in this world, right? There's a couple of different strands of things going on, and there's a whole mess of things that I don't fit into at all.
We have got to learn as a society, we are all here with the same mission, and people are falling in love and living their lives, and it is what it is. And I think this country struggles with all kinds of identity and racial and classism and all of that. We just struggle. And we should be so beyond that at this point. So it breaks your heart to see that this is even still something we're talking about.
I partnered with a synagogue and a Black Baptist church. And I took two groups together on a bus, and I said to Reverend T, the Reverend of Calvary Baptist Church, we got to do some icebreakers and bring people together. And he said, relax, Abby. It's going to happen naturally just through the experience. By the end of the trip, people were all mixed up in seats. And I can say that to this day, this was like 8 years ago, those two groups are still friends. There are people that became best friends that never even would have noticed each other at the grocery store.
Part of my mission is to bring awareness and help to not only military, but first responder families. The second part is I believe this country can be united through strong American values that I think we all do like each other. We're just doing a bad job of communicating it. And we need to bring it together because you can disagree and still come together with a good decision. And I don't know why it's you got to pick a side.
I have a suspicion that is already starting to be proven that artificial intelligence will pose the greatest form of oppression that our community has ever seen before. Whether, you know, education, economics, healthcare, and so forth, criminal justice, I think technology, when it comes to artificial intelligence, is going to create the most, the deepest margins that we've ever seen or experienced before.
People came in that second half so empowered and really bared their souls. Like we use the word passion a lot and things of that nature, but we had a guest say, I can just skip 2 weeks of therapy. And we I'm not gonna give away the secret sauce, but we tell them this is gonna devolve into a conversation real quick. So just be prepared.
Right.
Like
right.
You're gonna just start talking and it's gonna seem like next thing you know, the hour is up and you're like, whew. But that burden of being able to have a platform or be able to speak to somebody about what's going on. Everybody's going through something. Little bit different, a lot the same, and we give an opportunity for them to say their side of it, and they love it, and you guys love it as an audience. And so that's the thing I appreciate. We talk about appreciation early on. I appreciate that people come in and you think, whoa, they getting kind of deep. They getting kind of, it's never shallow. It goes deep, and we allow for it, and people love it. And that's the thing that really resonates in watching those clips from those different folks is they came in and just kind of cut loose and got on the couch. We should have called it the couch.
But it was not only the couch. So you think about it a second. You know, you had Grace come in, share her story as being a biracial woman.
Powerful.
Which was so powerful, right? And who knew that, you know, we started a podcast academy to help people launch their own podcasts. And Grace signed up for that. And she's going to be a part of a Black Executive Perspective podcast starting January 14th. Launching her own show called A Mixed Executive Perspective. So think about that for a second. We had no clue, but she came on and it was so powerful. Then, you know, with Mimi, you know, we had a theme, you know, as we started moving in the second half. It was all about, not all, but a lot. We talked about AI. And how AI is going to be changing things, and then how we need to be more receptive to it and be more aware of what's going on, right?
Yeah.
So you had Aaron Reddick first, and then now you have Mimi coming in, and she's chatting and talking about where we have to watch out for oppression and stuff to that nature. So look, at the end of the day,
and Chris talked about it too. Shout out to Chris.
Yeah, bro. Oh, Chris, my man. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So, and we tried to get them all on together, right, to do another pull up speak up. Yeah. Crickets.
We're gonna get it. Yeah,
but just having, as we got into the fall time, it was great to have those individuals come in and share, and different faces, same passion, right? Mm-hmm. Which was great, right? Now, let's look at how we ended out the year, right? I mean, we still got a couple of days left, but let's look at, you know, what Q4 brought us in 2025. What did you learn about the criminal justice system?
Well, I started to understand that the criminal legal system is built on a foundation of racism, that people with means don't get the punishment, right? You know, wealthy people, particularly with the death penalty, they don't execute people who are wealthy.
College is 260% more expensive today than it was 30 or 40 years ago, and continues to grow in terms of how much it costs to send someone, a young person, to school. In addition to that, I'll go one step further. I don't understand why you get help and I don't. We have bailed out the banks. We have bailed out airlines.
Thank you, buddy. I mean, you're kidding me.
Everyone.
The auto industry came with their hats in their hand.
But when we talk about bailing out future generations in this country, when we talk about bailing out Main Street, that becomes too controversial.
There's a lot of misinformation about immigrants coming here to be criminals. Like, we are not criminals. We are hardworking. We try to educate ourselves to be better citizens of this country.
I've gone from being a man of stature to now people take pity on you when you're in a wheelchair. And that probably was one of the hardest mental things that I've had to accept, is wheeling myself into a restaurant and having people look down on me. And they don't know they're doing it, okay? But my advice to anybody is, if you communicate with somebody in the wheelchair, don't stand over and look down on them. Go on one knee and go down and look at them face to face. It is one of the most humiliating things I've ever been through, which is to go around and navigate the world in a wheelchair.
Black folks who were senior, who were telling me to shut up. If I wanted to continue to be in that space and break barriers inside of corporate America, I had to shut up. That wasn't what God made me to be.
But the book is No Apologies, Love the Way You Live at Any Age, because I want you to live in your authentic truth. We are only put here for a number of years, and you need to live in your purpose. And living into that purpose gives you a fulfillment in life, and it gives you the joy and the happiness that one really needs.
Man, you know what? It's so crazy that we have activists. I until looking at this, didn't realize how many modern day activists we literally have on the show. And let me, you know, shout out to the lady that's the, I forgot old girl's name, but the president of the Washington, D.C. Urban League.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking to Kim.
Kim, absolutely.
Yeah.
But let me just say this, just because I feel on my heart it has to be said. Brad Bowling, president of our original partner, one of our original partners, Code M Magazine. Brad went through some things and came out on the other side, and you could see the humanity in Brad, the courage in Brad, the strength in Brad. He's been on the show talking about picking up women and all stuff. Like, we learn as we go. Brad is an excellent writer. He's an excellent editor. He's an excellent partner. He's an excellent brother. He's an excellent alpha. You know what I'm saying? He's just good people. And it's a pleasure that this platform has allowed us to be exposed to good people. Thank you, good people, for rocking with us, letting us turn a mic on, turn a camera on, and let you tell your story. And we just learn as we go.
Absolutely, buddy. I mean, look, we're blessed, and we ended the year out strong. You know, as you talked about with Kim and Brad and, you know, Representative Corey Parris, who's a congressman, right? He came on the show and he talked about all the things that, you know, people deal with, that he deals with in terms of trying to make things better, you know, for his constituents, right?
Right.
And then we have my girl Erica, who, you know, she shared her story of being an immigrant and how, you know, they've labeled now they're all criminals. And so for her to come on and share and educate people, right? Yep. And so we've been very blessed this year. And obviously, absolutely, there's probably guests who are watching this and they probably didn't see themselves. And we're not omitting you or anything like that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, everyone that came this year on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, we thank you because you guys killed it. And we wouldn't be where we are today. And you guys are the light and you guys are the foundation of being coming on and being authentic. And that's what you saw. You saw authenticity, you saw vulnerability, and you saw love. What did Charlie say at the end? I want you to love your, I want you to live your authentic life, right? Absolutely. Because you only have so much time on the planet and everybody needs to live and live with joy and live and be happy with who they are, right? And so, you know, ending on that, buddy, that's what this is about. And as we move into 2026, we're going to take it to another level, right?
Yes, sir.
And we're gonna continue to invite and have people come on and share. We're going to add new shows. Again, shout out to Grace, a Mixed Executive Perspective podcast, right? We have so many things planned to continue to grow this platform. But the one thing that we want to remind everybody, even if you're watching and you didn't know what our mission is to educate and have a platform that provides a voice, right? That the people can come on and share and talk about. It's so important today that we don't sit back and be silent. You know, we forgot about the bum rush, okay? We forgot about that, right? That, you know, they're throwing so many things at you. So then you become so, you know, exhausted. I can't take it anymore. You give up. And then they can be able to do what they want to do. We can't have that. A Black Executive Perspective podcast is not about that. It's about have this microphone that you see. And for people who don't know, our micros, our design, our logo is two T's upside down with the microphone in between in terms of bringing people together to have a conversation. That is our logo. That is our mission. And that's who we are. Right. So as we go into 2026, we're going to amplify that. We're going to take that to the next level. But more importantly, as we close on 2025, we want to thank you for believing in us and taking the time to invest in us. And more importantly, being there and showing your love, not just to BEP, but to your fellow human beings as well.
Absolutely. And I think that, like you said, we're here as a platform, but we don't do it without you. You got to come meet us and promote us and enjoy us and tell a friend to tell a friend and keep this thing on the trajectory in which it's on now, because this is exactly why we do it. Me and you could get on a mic and turn on a camera and man, cut up and enjoy ourselves, you know, to no end. But being able to interact with people I would have never met, people I would have never engaged with. And this is not just, once again, the misnomer of Black executives. It's all it's all leaders. We all have an opportunity to put our mark, our thumbprint on this world. And so we try to give a little bit of that where we can and try to extract a lot of that from the individuals, different ages, different backgrounds, different educations, from the startup to the people who've retired from Wells Fargo or from Western Union, from companies that's been around since the 1700s. Like, we try to touch as many as we can. If you have a compelling story or you know somebody, reach out at a Black exec and let us know, hey, y'all might want to get up with this sister, with this brother, with this person, you know, and we here for that because we want to make sure you get what we're trying to give. And that's that connecting point.
Absolutely. So real quickly, I just want to cover a couple of shout outs. So my man, Will, the Contraband, he was on. So hey, buddy, thanks a lot. Happy New Year to you too. Really appreciate you. And then we just spoke about this lady, Erica. Thank you for coming on, right, and sharing your story and educating people about the plight of immigrants and stuff of that nature. So, you know, Chris, you know, the reminder that we want to make sure is that we want to have for everybody is BEP is not here to make people comfortable. Right? That's right. We are here to make people honest. Right. And if these conversations make you pause, question, or feel uneasy, that's a good thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Because that's mm-hmm. where growth lives.
Absolutely. Nothing grows in a comfort zone. And if you've been with us all year, we want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Specifically, where you're not just watching us and just kind of meandering. You're engaged and active. And we see that. You're participating in something bigger, and we're here for it, and we're here with you. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Absolutely. So again, don't forget, we have multiple shows on this platform, so don't forget to check out Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast. Dr. Burton, you know, dives into the crucial topics that you don't have time to deal with. As you saw some of her clips earlier, factual, smart. She's going to keep you up to date on the things you need to know. So check it out here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton.
And then also, we've hit this a couple times. We can't hit it enough, and you'll see things coming out about it soon, January 14th. Don't miss the launch of a Mixed Executive Perspective on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. It's going to be hosted by Grace Food and Corey. Fabulous, fabulous person. But a great storyteller with a past and a story that you want to hear. And she'll bring executive leadership, fear, purpose, belonging, giving a voice to perspectives that are too often unheard. And she has it here for you starting January 14th.
Absolutely. And you saw a little bit of the clips of Pull Up, Speak Up. Don't forget to check out our next episode that's coming up, right? Our roundtable dives into the most hard-hitting topics. Every voice counts. Every perspective counts as well. More importantly, it sparks change. As you saw, this is not just regular talk. It's a call to action. Tune in to join the revolution. Pull Up, Speak Up here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast.
And then, of course, I will be remiss if I did not remind you that the reason why we do this is that we want you to use our call to action. Our goal is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we're asking everyone to embrace less, L-E-S-S. The L is for learn. Educate yourself on racial, cultural, political, societal nuances so you can have a voice and you can chime in and chip in just like we do each week.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now you can be more empathetic because now you can put yourself in your friend's shoes because now you understand what they've been going through.
And then the first S is for share. Share your insights, enlighten others. Don't hide it, divide it. We talked about people getting on the couch and opening up and sharing. And we've cornered the market on sharing uncomfortable conversations. Come with us and enjoy that.
Absolutely. And the final S stands for stop. We want everyone to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. This is very easy, right? This is something that you can do so easily. And it just take from a Sunday dinner standpoint. If you hear Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe say something that's inappropriate, instead of sitting there with your mouth open or you're giggling, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, guess what, my friends? In 2026, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world, and we'll all see the change that we want to see because less will become more.
While you got time off, go and look at the catalog of episodes. We gave you a little quick, you know, appetizer, but go back and check out some of the stuff we have in the catalog that's out there. Be ready for our next episodes. And as we transition into 2026, it's going to get better and better and better. And so we want to make sure that you tune in. We want you to go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, A Monthly Perspective, right? Check that out. And then we want you to leave us comments. Let us know what you want to hear about. Subscribe and get involved with us. Where can they find us, Tony?
My friend, you can follow and find a Black Executive Perspective podcast right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at A Black Exec. For my fabulous, my man down in Dallas, the co-host with the most, Chris P. Reed. Hold on before we go. Chris needs to give a shout out.
Shout out to Illinois State University Redbirds. The championship, college football championship is this weekend in Nashville. Go Birds. You know what I'm saying? Got to do it. Paid them a lot of money.
I got it. So not only did we talk about it and we laughed about it and we learned about it, we shout out the Birds about it, right?
That's
we
right.
Stay with it. We wish you, hoping they go on and win their championship. But that's as we close out 2025, we want to let you know we love you. We'll see you in 2026. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.